Welcome to the conclusion of this saga. If, for some reason, you have not heard the first part, we invite you to listen to it first, so you understand the terrible events we are about to recount. Remember that strange sects and cults are much closer than you think. Much, much closer. My name is Uriel Reyes, and you are entering another installment of Tales of the Night. At some point, just before leaving the ceremony, I went to the bathroom. The one I normally used was occupied, but next to it, there were some stairs, and I was sure there was another bathroom upstairs. I went up, feeling confident because I was part of this club. I peeked into an open door, hoping to find the bathroom, but I had found a bedroom instead. I immediately stepped back, embarrassed to be invading someone's personal space. I didn't know the place also functioned as a residence. I had only ever been in the lounge. The bed was perfectly made with white sheets, and behind it, there seemed to be an armchair with someone sitting in it. I don't know whether it was a dummy, a mannequin, or a person with a mask, but its face, its head, wasn't human. It was the head of an owl. The figure had its arms between its legs, in a tired, droopy position. In its eyes, I thought I could see a human gaze, as if the head was just a mask. Whatever was behind those eyes was staring at me intensely. It killed the slight buzz I had and the need to go to the bathroom. I hurried back downstairs. No one seemed to have noticed my absence, so without saying goodbye, I headed for the exit. They gave me my phone at the door, and since it wasn't midnight yet, I hurried to catch the train. The station was completely empty. The surrounding streets were too. Terrible thoughts went through my head, and I couldn't shed the feeling that I had seen something I never should have. That I was in danger. That maybe I should never go back to that house. Have you ever had that feeling? That you just escaped some terrible fate? That you just saved yourself from something ghastly? But I hadn't escaped. Not yet. Suddenly out of the corner, I saw Orlando poke his head out. He smiled and waved, before walking onto the platform.
Do you want a ride? No metro is coming at this hour.
I didn't know what to say to him. I just stayed silent.
Is everything okay? You left without saying goodbye. You went upstairs, huh? Look, I don't know what you think you saw, but be assured, it's just your imagination.
As he spoke, I couldn't stop thinking about that thing, about that figure, in the room.
You'll come back, right? We can trust you?
I nodded yes with my head, but I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. And I know that tipped Orlando off.
Look, I'll be able to explain everything very soon, in a few more sessions. Be patient. I swear it'll be worth it. I don't know what you think you saw, but you can rest assured that it wasn't real blood. They're things we use for the ceremony.
Blood? I thought. Ceremony? I didn't know what he had thought I saw, but it was obvious that the second floor hid more things than I had been able to see. Now I knew I was in danger. What would they be willing to do to silence me? Orlando asked me for my phone and I gave it to him. On the corner I saw a figure, one of the men from the party watching us. Another was crossing the street, and then I realized there was one on each corner, surrounding us. It would be impossible for me to run away unscathed if a train didn't stop at the station. Orlando checked my messages, then told me everything was fine. That he expected me next week. He stepped away and then, as if he had forgotten something, he came back.
It doesn't seem like it, and I know you're scared, but it'll be worth it, I promise.
He told me. Then he hugged me and kissed me on the cheek.
He had never said goodbye like that, but he did it to whisper something to me.
They can read your phone. They can hear everything.
As soon as Orlando left the station, the lights of the last train of the night appeared. When I tried to sleep that night, all I could see was that figure with the owl head. I would fall asleep and dream of that moment, in an endless loop. Me walking down that hallway, getting close to the door, and then the owl. Over and over again. The following days were strange. Orlando sent me messages as if nothing had happened, talking to me about other topics, even asking me to accompany him to the premiere of his play. Things that had nothing to do with that last meeting or what I saw, with that mysterious encounter at the station. The more I remembered it, the more surreal the experience seemed. I had a million questions for Orlando, but after what he told me, I wasn't going to ask them by phone or by text message. At one point, I thought about emailing him from a computer. But what if his phone was tapped too? No. If I was going to ask him anything, I would have to do it on the day of his play.
A couple of days later, my mom woke me up around 11 at night, trying not to alarm me. She softly told me that there was a woman standing in front of the house, just staring inside. I told her it was probably some crazy lady, and that she'd leave at any moment. But my mom said she thought it was the girl I had been dating. Startled, I got up. I felt like I was dreaming. I looked out the window, and indeed, it was the girl I had dated, who had introduced me to Orlando. When I went out to see what she wanted, she walked away and up the street without saying a word, and I followed her until she stopped. I asked her what she was doing there, if she was okay, if she needed something. And she started asking me for forgiveness. I tried to calm her, but she was very upset. When she managed to calm her nerves, she asked me if I had my phone on me, but I didn't. She stumbled over her words, but slowly confessed that they had asked her to offer something she loved in order to be part of the club, that I was her offering. Just my damn luck. That's why she had looked for me, after so many years. A guy she had only seen once in her life. She went out with me a couple more times, and then introduced me as a boyfriend she loved very much as her offering. She was part of something she called the convent, the counterpart of the men's club I attended, made up of women. Both groups had only one joint meeting a year, which was about to take place. She told me that Orlando, by befriending me, had ended up discovering the lie. Now, the convent knew she had lied. She told me I was in danger, that I had seen too much, and that I should never go back to that house. She was here to warn me. She told me what she knew, that they were going to let me be part of the monastery, as the men's group was apparently called, but that being part of the club was going to be even worse for me. I was about to enter something I never asked for, something I never wanted, that was going to consume me, take my soul. She begged me not to go to the next meeting under any circumstance, or there would be no way to escape. I tried to take heed and remain calm the following days, as if nothing was happening, but I started watching my back every time I left the house, peering out the windows as silence filled the street. There was always, always someone there, among the shadows, always at each end of the street. Orlando all but disappeared those days, and in his absence, in his silence, I began to doubt my sanity. I had to stop this nonsense. I would go to the next meeting and wait for them to explain to me what the club was about, see if it was something I liked or not, and make my own decision. I wasn't about to let a bunch of crazy talk keep me from the only opportunity I had had to make friends, to make connections, and, if I was lucky, maybe even to land a job. But one night,
my mom woke me up again. My ex-girlfriend had come back. She was dressed all in black, as if she was about to go to one of those ceremonies she told me about. I followed her to her car, and without saying anything, I got in the back seat. We drove to Colonia Roma, past the house where I had attended those ceremonies, and then to the back of that street. As she drove, she told me there was no escape, that she could escape from them, but not from what she had seen in the convent, not from what they worshipped. She told me the cult was beside the point, that what lived inside the convent, and also inside the monastery, was real, that for her, there was no way back.
But you? You still have time,
she told me.
They haven't let you see the owls yet.
We arrived at the convent, at the house where the women gathered. A huge house, more opulent than the men's.
She's in there, on the second floor. Can you feel the truth too?
She asked me. I didn't know what she was referring to, but she was right. I looked at the house, and from one of those windows I could feel a gaze. She asked me to get out of the car and call the police, to ask them to go inside, to tell them everything. She started screaming at me wildly until I got out of the car. She took off. I looked back at the house, trying to sense if something strange was really coming from within, or if it was all in my head. But I was too confused. I walked to the main street to hail a taxi. When I ran into Orlando, he was coming towards me, smiling with open arms. He told me I had passed the test and hugged me. I hadn't called the police. I didn't tell my ex anything about what I saw. I didn't tell anyone anything. It had all been a test. He wrapped his arm around me and we walked back to the monastery. Orlando started explaining how the two groups worked and the activities. It slowly made more and more sense. It was a simple club that had some symbols that promote power, wisdom, and unconditional support among members. Figures that were worshipped, but not literally, rather their idea. He told me I would be surprised when I met the kind of people who attended the meetings I hadn't yet been invited to. And so we arrived at the house. We went inside. The same bald man has always opened the door for us. This time, he was somewhat surprised that we were there. Orlando went upstairs and I heard him talking to someone. An old, tired voice. When Orlando came back down, he told me they would welcome me into the group as soon as possible, the following night. Still, I was doubtful. There were certain inconsistencies that had planted themselves in my head. Was the girl's story really part of the test? Or was she really in danger? How the hell could I know? Racked with guilt, I bought a cheap burner phone and called her. She didn't answer. Later, when I told my mom I would be hanging out with Orlando a bit more frequently, that we were going to be joining a club, her reaction was foretelling. She had gotten to know him well in the previous months, and I thought that she liked him. However, when I told her this, she told me she had never managed to fully trust him, that she felt he was hiding something. I told her not to worry, that it was just a misunderstanding, and the time for the ceremony arrived. I attended as always, a few minutes early to knock on the door right on time. As always, the members were already inside, but this time they welcomed me with a friendlier smile. They would let me into the back room at any moment, the room where I had seen them performing their ceremony. While alone with Orlando in the hall, he whispered to me so the others couldn't hear us.
What did she tell you?
What? I asked him. Who?
I know you talked to her. I told you everything was part of the test. But do you believe me? Or not?
Of course, I replied. I don't know what you're talking about. Orlando smiled, mockingly, before walking away. The bald man approached me, told me my phone kept ringing, to go to the lobby so I could answer it. It was my mom.
Son, how are you? Are you okay?
My mom sounded very worried. I told her I was fine and asked if everything was all right.
It's just that Orlando is worried about you. I thought you told me you were going to be with him.
Yes, Mom, I'm with him. Everything is fine, I said.
Son, don't lie to me. Orlando is here. He came looking for you.
When she said that, I looked down the hall. Orlando was on the other side of the room. I tried keeping my calm. Mom, you've got it all wrong. On the other end of the line, I heard faintly,
tell him to take very good care of himself, not to do anything crazy.
It was Orlando's voice. I asked my mom if my dad was with her, but she told me she was alone. I told her to wait for me, that I would come home immediately, that Cole had woken me up. I was not in control here, and I didn't understand anything. I had to protect my family before it was too late. I took my phone and left. I didn't care at all that the ceremony had started. On the way home, I passed many women dressed in black. Deep down, I knew they were part of the other group, but they were following me. I made a call and cashed in a favor. When I got home, my mom was already with my dad. She told me Orlando had gotten very angry and left, slamming the door. But I knew Orlando would be back. And like clockwork, he arrived. I went outside to confront him, and luckily, my favor arrived just in time. Two tall guys with military buzzes stepped out of the shadows. They asked me my name, and I answered. They pointed to Orlando and asked if that was the person. I nodded. They asked me to go back inside the house. I went in and watched everything from the window. While they talked to Orlando, he kept smiling at me. He knew. He knew I had won that round. I also knew important people. My ex-best friend called me back. Even? He asked me. Even, I replied. Orlando left without saying anything. The two men outside indicated that I would not have to deal with him anymore. That they already knew where to find his club. Both locations. I know I'll be safe as long as the current government is in power. Afterwards, my ex-best friend will lose the small influence that is saving my life. I never heard back about the girl that brought me to Orlando in the first place. I see Orlando's face often, on posters for mediocre plays all over the city. Among all the things I still can't explain today is how Orlando managed to be in two places at the same time. When I think about that moment, when I hung up that call, when I left that damned monastery house, I remember being able to see the chapel, for the ritual waiting for me in the back. There was someone there, a tall man with an owl's head, a mask anyway, or at least that's what I tell myself. But my friend's words keep echoing in my head, the warning. I can escape from them. From the members of that strange group, but not from the figures they worship. From them, there is no escape. I constantly feel like they're lingering nearby. I see suspicious people everywhere, and something terrible happens. Every time I turn off the light, every time there is darkness, I can see two points glowing in it. Always present, always. Like owl's eyes that want me to know they are always watching me. If they are listening, this message is for them. There is a large group of people, very close to me, who have all the information about this group. All of it, with addresses, meeting dates, names of members. If anything ever happens to me or my family, those names will be revealed, from multiple sources and with evidence. And I guess, Uriel, sharing this story with you if you ever publish it, is another way to feel safe, for more people to know about my experience. At some point, I know the truth will come to light. Like the warning on the monastery's door says, truth is the daughter of time, veritas, filia temporis.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.